I guess my first item of consideration is simply to you this evening. Can we handle the truth? A relevant question, I think, for us to ponder. You remember Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You might want to turn in your Bible. We all have different translations, so this will fit right in. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. One of the first things that we must consider is how we manifest the truth, or how do we publicly display the truth in our lives. The steps we take in life should and must testify to the truth of God. The truth revolution must not only be a conflict to replace an old regime, it must include, I think, a renaissance. It must also include our culture of life, not just our method of thinking, although that's got to preclude it, hasn't it? John said in 3 John verse 3, "For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." It's not enough to simply rail on the people a message. Our talk must mimic our walk. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, what kind of illumination is that? Does that mean we walk around with a halo over our head all the time? What does that mean? It's got to have some meaning. Folks, it's talking about the illumination of the mind. It's talking about helping people to know what they need to know. The illumination we give to others by our proclamation of gospel truth, and I am talking about the illumination of the mind, is we must enable others to discern the good works in our lives. Notice, let your light so shine, they may see your good works, glorify your Father which is in heaven. They see your good works as you let your light shine. Why do you want to do that? You want them to see what it means to believe and live the truth in your life. You want them to see that. They have to see it in your life. Just how should we handle the truth? Care must be taken not to handle God's word deceitfully. That must have some correlation, I think, to the problem which developed in the Garden of Eden. Yes, I'm talking about the deception which took place involving our first mother, Eve. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." You see, we have to go back to the very beginning to get the situation straight. Jesus gave credence, friends, to all this. You might be a little afraid to go back and look at that in Genesis, but why don't we? Why be afraid of it? John 8, 44, "You are of your father, the devil," Jesus said, "and the lust of your father you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And what about it? He abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Whoever that was, that's who he said it to. Whoever, whatever it was, that's who he said it to. And he accused them of not him of not repeating or not saying the truth as he should. I suggest to you that it seems evident that from the very beginning there has been a disconnect of God's creation with truth. We need a truth revolution. Notice how Paul railed about how things started out in the beginning. The truth of God, he said, was changed into a lie, and God's people, his creation, accepted it. Just face that. You remember Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. I think Jeremiah's lamentation would work well in our day. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1. I think it would work well in many days of our history. Oh, that my head were waters, he said, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place, a wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men, and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. And he lamented, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. Are we any more valiant than they were then today? Are we any more excited about the truth in our lives and in our church as any more than they were then? Isaiah said in chapter 59, verse 14, judgment, he said, is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street. How then should we handle the Word of God? You know, I found this out, and it became apparent to me even more so as I became involved in the Church of God, Abrahamic faith. 2 Timothy 2:15. Remember that when we were young. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There are many things, folks, that as an organization we need to do. At least one of these things is to help ourselves as well as others realize the importance of truth and the total equation of God's plan. First of all, let it be understood that our God is the God of truth. Moses said in Deuteronomy 32, verse 1, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall be still as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender earth, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is our rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. What he has promised, he is able to perform. Sometimes, folks, it's convenient to accept a proposition regarding the future of mankind, relating to eternal life, kingdom of God, to simply say that, well, God can do and will do whatever he chooses with the earth and with our bodies and with our future. He can do to us and with us. Whatever he chooses, he can do. He can take us wherever he desires for eternity, and so there's no need to belabor or argue upon. Do you remember the words of Paul about Abraham? Listen, Abrahamic faith people. Our fathers in the past studied themselves into what they considered to be truth. They thought it and considered it, and so they stood on it. That's why we're here today. They were ridiculed and treated harshly for the stand that they took. They were not deterred, however, nor should we be. Our faith includes the faith of our father Abraham, who being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he was able also to perform. I would suggest that you look at this passage just a little bit more, among other things, saying that God can do whatever he will about his creation, but that he, God, has bonded himself to what he will do, with what he has said he will do, and that's that. Now let me say that again slowly. God can do whatever he wills about his creation, but he has bonded himself to what he will do with what he has said he will do. He will do just exactly what he said he will do. It's up to us as well as those who seek his favor. Find out what that might be. Listen to the words of Jacob in Genesis 32, verse 9. A God my Father, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which says to me, return into thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal with thee. Jacob said, I am not worthy of the least of all your mercies and of all the truth. Abraham was thanking God for all the truth that had been delivered to him, which thou hast showed unto thy servant. Micah the prophet in chapter 7, verse 20 said, thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our father from the days of old. God spoke it. It was true. Jacob accepted it. Abraham accepted it. We need also to continue to accept it in our lives, not just in our head, but in our lives. The truth is important to God, and He has been so, and it has been so from the very beginning. Even though our mother Eve and many who followed her example have been seduced into believing something false, something quite different from the truth, we can testify to how being deceived, believing the lie, we can testify to how it affects the outcome of issues. If you've ever lost a loved one and had to go to a funeral, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That is how history works when you believe a lie. And that will work just that way to the very end. Well, let's go to the end and see. Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city. For without, on the outside, are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters. And who else? Whosoever loveth them. Perhaps many of us can relate to Pilate's response to Jesus in John 18:37. Everyone, Jesus said, that is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? Pilate's response reminds me of the response to former President Bill Clinton during the 1998 grand jury testimony on the Monica Lewinsky affair, you remember. It depends on what the meaning of the word is. Pilate was attempting, as was former President Clinton, to infer that they were hung up on semantics and a problem of understanding that comes to the word selection or connotation. My mind, simple as it is, works better if I have a biblical definition. If I'm attempting to understand biblical meaning, one of the best definitions of the truth, I feel, was given by Paul, by the readers. In the writer of Acts chapter 17. You're familiar with it. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews, which were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. I learned the emphasis on the script on this particular scripture in the Church of God of Abraham. New Living Translation says, and the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to check up on Paul and Silas, to see if they were really teaching the truth. That's what we need to do. That's what we have been famous for across the years, and we need to continue to do. They were eager to know and to learn. They received the words of Paul and Silas, and search the scriptures daily to see if what they were being told was so. According to the scriptures, so be it. Listen up, church. 1 Timothy 3:15. You know it. If I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Here we are. Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. If people around us and in our world today cannot find the truth in the church of God, I ask you, where are they going to find it? Where are they going to look for it? Are we the pillar and ground of the truth or not? Why can't we just let God be true and just everybody be a liar? That's what Paul said in Romans 3. He just lumped it all together and said, let's just let God be true. Why don't we, as Pastor Doe said at our conference, Christian Worship Seminar, let's join God God is the God of truth. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth, isn't it? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now think with me for just a moment. Let's just think what Jesus said. I will pray the Father. He will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. Neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Jesus is going to send to the Father. We need another comforter. It will be the comforter of truth. When that comforter comes, chapter 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, will guide you into all truth. The main purpose of the Spirit of God is to lead us into truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and will show you things to come. Is it then any wonder when this occurred to me, it's like a light bulb turned on in my head. Is it any wonder that Paul said in Romans 8, verse 14, listen to this now, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit of God leads into all truth. Then as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They shall all be called of God. Join God in his quest for getting his creation that somehow got messed up at the very beginning in believing a lie. Somehow they couldn't accept the truth that God had said. You're going to die. You're going to die. No, you're not going to deceive yourself. Let us join God in his quest for getting his creation to know the truth of which our first parents became disconnected in the beginning and its importance in the grand scheme of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. The servant of God must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patience, meekness, instructing those that are only opposing themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance, to what? To the acknowledging of the truth. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him for his will. Lives disconnected from truth need to hear through instruction the simple truth which motivated our forefathers to follow Paul's admonition to Timothy. And he said in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. Again, let's join God. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, for this is good, and it's acceptable in God's sight, our Savior, who will have, listen to this, folks, God wants all men to be saved. And to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is, and then he gets off on this tangent, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's not a tangent, that's just a biblical truth. God wants men to be saved and to come to what? The knowledge of the truth. The truth about what? The truth about who he is. And the truth about what he is. What should we do? Proverbs 23:23. Why don't we just buy the truth and sell it now? Why don't we invest in the truth? Isn't that what we're here talking about this week? Why don't we invest it? Not commercialize it, but invest it. Not to sell it, but invest it. Why don't we believe the truth and love it? You know, it's all right. It's all right to be passionate about the truth. It's all right. Didn't have to tell Brother Kent Ross that. He's passionate about it. And I love him for it. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7 says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let. Now notice this until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness. Here we go with that story again. But unrighteousness and them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That they all, and this is awful strong language, that they all might be damned, he meant it, or judged, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Listen, folks. Daniel said the little horn in chapter 8 would cast down the truth to the ground, and it would practice in front. That's what he said was going to happen. Is that what we're looking for? Is it happening already? Paul said that the wicked one which shall be revealed at the last, whose coming is after the working of Satan, would be instrumental in the deception of those who will not receive the love of the truth, just as God dealt with mankind in the beginning for being disconnected with the truth. He will so deal with mankind at the end. During such a time, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, his swan song, some have suggested. What was important to him at the very end? What was it that was so important? They didn't want him to impress upon Timothy. Time will come, Paul said, when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they'll heap to themselves teachers. Having itching ears, they'll turn away their ears from what? From the truth and be turned into faith. In a time such as this, when he said they will be ever learning, 2 Timothy 3, 7. And never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This time we should follow the words of God, Yahweh, in Zechariah 8, verse 16. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye ever and the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gate. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath. For all these things, God said, are things that I hate. Paul, following this up, said in Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love, and grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. That's what we need in our lives, to get the truth in it and begin to grow up in Christ. I am. Colossians 1:3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, since we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have for all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, for have you heard before in what? The word of the truth of the gospel, which is common to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. What part of the truth could you live without in your life today? What part of it would you want to do away with? I wouldn't want to do away with any of it. I fought too hard to find it, and I will hang on to it. Prove all things, he said, and hold fast to that which is good. I am humbled as we join God in this great venture. But we agree with God that the need is here, and as the pillar and ground of the truth, which we are, so we walk with God to the task ahead. But we cannot walk with him unless we agree with him. You remember Amos' word, chapter 3, verse 3? And we walk together except that we agree. Surely the Lord God will do nothing. Look what he has revealed to his people. But he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophet. Look what he has revealed here in what we feel like it, the closing days of time to his people. And then Amos said, the lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? I say, if we do not prophesy, if we do not speak God's truth unto our neighbors and friends and to all the world, the rocks themselves will cry out. God's word is powerful and God's truth is powerful, and that's what we want in our lives and in the lives of those around us. May God give us his grace. Amen.